if you watch the video that Nicole did, the best Easter candy are those little hard-shelled Cadbury eggs. Those are by far the best Easter candy. I meant to bring some today, and then I got busy, and I just plain forgot. Other weird side note, if you're reading in the Bible and you get to the Balaam's donkey part, do you find it hard to not read the talking donkey in, like, the voice from Shrek? Like, did that just kind of, does it just always happen? Anyway, weird things that go on in Rick's brain. So, we are at the fourth cup of Passover, which is exciting, but I need to clean up something from last week. So, one of the things that I keep saying is, we want everyone to learn together. We want questions. If there's things that we need to go back and touch base on, if I made a mistake on something, we need to get that corrected. So it took all of 6 weeks before I have to start a week by correcting something I said the week before. So I don't know what the over-under on that was. But we always want to answer questions. When I get together with the team that we prepped for the sermon before, the first thing I said, is there anything I need to go back and clean up? Is there anything that's like, hey, I should have spent more time on that to make sure everyone understands? And so if you ever have questions, make sure you send them to us. If you have that question, someone else probably has that question. And if we're going to teach and help you guys understand Scripture in its fullness, then answering questions is a big part of that. And we want to do that. Kind of the thought being is the odds of everyone being a part of this congregation forever is slim. So I need to do the best I can to give you guys the tools to be able to carry what you learn and carry to other places, bring it to your couch, bring it to your dining room table, and be able to answer questions for other people. So we want that. But the thing I got to clean up is I made the statement about when reading in your Bible, if it says capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's talking about God, Yahweh. It's the placement of God's name. I said, if it doesn't say that, it's talking about someone different. And then some people said, hey, that's not accurate. Some translations only refer to God that way. Others will use a capital L. You may see a capital L, lowercase style, uppercase lettery, or capital letters of Lord. And other times, it will just be a capital L in there, which means, depending on the Bible you read, you have to do the work. And it, even though it's originally from in Exodus 3, where God gives you his name and says, my name is... Man, this feels really far away. I'm going to move that for a second. Okay. That's where God is. I am that I am. It's Yahweh. It's the word that in Hebrew culture they wouldn't pronounce. They don't say it. So there's just this. And carrying on that tradition is why you don't see it written as Yahweh that often. And they say Lord. But it's also translated into Adonai, Jehovah, or in Kyrios in the Greek means my Lord. So anytime you see those, they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about God. So that was the cleanup. It's not always written that one way. It's often written that one way. But if you're reading and you see the word Lord, if you see Adonai or Jehovah, it's also referring to Yahweh, God. But if you see the word Lord, you got to, like, maybe back up, read through again to make sure you know who they're talking about when they say that. So that was my cleanup for last week. But this week, we're like I said, we're on cup four. It's the end of the Seder meal. It's the end of Passover. And we started by saying, you know, what is Passover? Why should I care about it? Passover is the Jewish festival that celebrates the Exodus from Egypt, where God did the plagues. And they celebrate this today. It's a pilgrimage festival. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals. Oddly enough, the next one is in 50 days from Sunday, or probably 50 days from Orthodox Easter, maybe. Anyway, it's 50 days after Easter. And that's Pentecost, or Sukkot is the second, and then the last one is the Festival of Tabernacles, and that is in the fall, and that's the last pilgrimage festival where people would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate. Why we care about it is because it's a reminder of God's faithfulness, and Jesus' ministry was marked by it. So I love the Old Testament. I'm going to do a lot in the Old Testament, and I do that because the Old Testament was Jesus' Bible. To understand Jesus properly, we have to understand his world and his scriptures as well, and that's why I put a lot of value on the Old Testament. But ultimately, it does mark Jesus' ministry, because through the Gospels, you see, Jesus celebrated the Passover 3 times. That's where we get where Jesus had active ministry, from the wedding, the water to wine thing, to the cross. Was about this 3-year span, and it covered 3 Passovers. But ultimately, we can't understand Jesus unless we know his world. And we study this stuff, and we learn this stuff, and it's fun. I enjoy learning these things. I enjoy understanding this is the process through which they did the Seder dinner. And I love the context of things, and I love the educational piece, but there's a problem where it can just stay as an educational piece, to where we walk around and we can go, oh, I read the Bible and I understand this and I know this piece. There are classes in which people take and they just learn about Scripture and then that's it. And it just stays right there. But we do the work to understand and to know Scripture so we can obey it. And I just love the quote by the Jewish rabbi. It was first quoted in Eugene Peterson's book, but he says, I'm going to get a little bit wrong, but basically it's, for a Jewish person, it's more important to understand the Scriptures rightly than it is to obey them rightly, because if you don't understand them rightly, you can't obey them rightly. And your obedience becomes disobedience. So when we're doing things and we're trying to learn and understand Scripture, it has to be so we can apply it to our lives, so we understand it, so we can obey it. Scripture from Genesis through Revelation is one story of God's amazing love for his creation and his desire to redeem it and to restore it to what it was originally supposed to be. And if we don't understand that as we read through Scripture, and as we look at Scripture, and we look at the things that God says, and the things we do, and even the things that he told the Israelites to do that maybe we don't practice anymore because of the resurrection, if we don't understand those things in the process of obeying them, then we're just learning things to learn things. And while it can be fascinating and interesting, of what value is it? At least that's what I told myself all through high school. I'm never going to use this stuff. What am I learning? This we learn for a reason. This is important. This is what we're doing. So, the Seder meal. Seder means order, and we went through the first 3 weeks here, and we're going through the order of everything in which they had meaning, the foods that are involved, the prayers that are given, the cups that are drinking. All of them had a process in an order. Everything had a purpose. And anytime you're looking at these Jewish festivals, they're a threefold thing. Part of them is remembering what God has done. They're focused on the past. Another part is celebrating and praising God for what he is doing in this moment. And then the other piece is celebrating and praising God for what he's going to do. And we see this throughout the Seder meal, and each time they're taking a cup and they're going through it. There's those 3 aspects to each thing. They can go back and tie it to, this is what happened as we were leaving Egypt, and this is what God has done. And then there's this hopeful piece that follows. And so as they get ready to do this Seder meal, remember, before the first cup comes the preparation, the cleaning, the sanctifying, the preparing, and we learn that we have to do that work. We have to do that work before we gather together so that our hearts and our minds are ready to hear from God. Now, I had kind of a crazy week, and sometimes just calming down so we can hear from God is important. And so all week I was wrestling with what I was going to say today, right now. And I had the first half, and that was fine. That was the educational, information part. But I was struggling with tying things up, and even went to bed last night kind of stressed, going, I don't know how this ends. And so I got up early this morning so I could work on it, and I just had an opportunity for the first time all week to just stop, not think about anything else. And it was when I could clear my mind and I could dedicate this time to hearing from God that it was like, oh, that's where this is going. And so there's so many areas in which we can sanctify ourselves. And the first cup is the cup of sanctification. And what it is saying is we're starting this thing and we've done the work to prepare for these moments. And we had to look at our own lives and say, do we do the work to prepare for those moments? And it should be a daily work. Where we're searching for all the leaven, and someone asks you, why is it that leaven gets such a bad rap? What is it about that that just, people are like, oh yeah, you got to get all this leaven out. You got to get all this leaven, all this yeast. It's because the smallest amount is connected to sin, because the smallest amount can contaminate a whole lot. It doesn't take much. It's a living, breathing bacteria that makes our bread all nice and fluffy. It makes our pizza dough really good. But when it's used in a way it's not supposed to be used, it demolishes what it was supposed to be. And so you'll read Scripture and you'll see sin connected to leaven, because you can look and go, oh, well, I got most of the sin out. Like, I'm doing pretty good. But those little sins that you think are insignificant, that small amount can cause a whole lot of damage. When you go, well, this isn't one that affects other people, it's not hurting anyone, it can be demolishing you. And then it gets in you, and it infects you, and then you carry it on, and no longer are you able to love your God and love your neighbor well, because you have this problem in your life that you thought was no good. So as a part of their preparation, they were showing, okay, we're going to clean everything. We're moving the furniture. We're vacuuming. We're getting every piece of everything out. And that was part of the ceremony in reminding them what they have to do in their own lives. And when all the work was done and everything was prepared, they drank the first cup. And then we went on through the process, and they did the washing of hands, the cleansing, and they would pour over their hands, and the afikomen, which was the three pieces of matzah bread, and they broke the one in half, and they hid it for later, so that it could be redeemed. Then they told the story of the Exodus. They talked about the plagues. They dipped their fingers in the cup, and they prayed, and they talked about each aspect of the plagues. And then they stopped at the Passover lamb. And they talked about the blood that was brushed on the doorpost with the hyssop branch, knowing that when that sacrifice was made and the Spirit of God hovered over, their family was safe. It had the covering of blood. And so they went on, and then they drank the second cup. Then as they got to the third cup, they had the meal, which again, I've been a part of the Shabbat meal, or the meal for the Sabbath, and it's a big meal. Like, it puts Sunday dinner to shame, and this was the biggest of the meals, the big feast. This makes Thanksgiving or Christmas look ridiculous, and they would have this great meal, and they would give Thanksgiving, and then they would check the door for Elijah, because in the mind, that was who was going to come back. So they had a place set for him. They had a cup poured for Elijah, and someone would go check the door and say, is this the day? Is this the moment? Is this the time of God's return? Is the one who is going to prepare the way coming through the door? And that's who they thought Elijah was. It ended up being John the Baptist. And then they went and found and redeemed that piece of broken bread. And through this, Jesus gave us the practice of communion. this is my body broken. This is my blood shed. Every time you do this, remember this. There's a new covenant. The old one is going to be fulfilled. And those were the first few cups. And so then we head to this fourth cup. And there's not a lot that goes on between the third and the fourth cup. But the fourth cup of praise remembers, I will take you as my people. And it says, I will be your God. And that is something praiseworthy. When the God who exists before time, who spoke everything into existence, calls out and says, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, that would be something praiseworthy. And so the fourth cup is the cup of praise, the cup of hope, the cup of restoration. And so they would get to this part and they would recite or read a portion of Psalms. And they would read Psalms 118, and I'm going to have you bear with me, Alex. I'm going to have you click through. Oh, you know what I forgot to start with? It's kind of a big day for a few of our guys in our sound team. Right? So Alex turned 20 today. Yeah. And 20 years before that, John was born. So two of our main tech guys both have birthdays today. So it's kind of funny that they're exactly 20 years apart. So Alex made it through being a teenager, and John is now 40. So, and he celebrated by trimming the beard. And I don't know that that's gone over really well. I think it's awesome, but I don't get a vote. So, anyway, before we get into the reading of Psalms 118, 1 through 29, let's pause and pray. Loving Father, we do praise you for this moment. God, we just praise you for who you are and your love for us. Lord, as we continue to go through and understand more of your character and who you are and your love for us and how we respond to that, God. We just dedicate this time to you as an act of worship, as an act of praise. God, calm our hearts. Open our ears. Let us hear from you and you alone. And God, if there's anything I prepared or I want to say that isn't of you and doesn't match your nature, does let it fall on deaf ears, so that only your words stand true. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bible with you, your phone or tablet or desktop computer, whatever you have, we're going to be Psalms 118. I read it out of the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB version, also known as the Holman Christian Standard, if it's the HCSB. That's the version that we use. The best version is the one you're going to read. I like teaching from this one. I like reading, studying out of the NASB. I like more of a word-for-word translation. I think there's a lot of really good Bibles, and using them, mixing and matching, helps you really understand what the context is, but that's the one we're going to read out of. And this is long, and so bear with me. I hate reading in public, so I don't do it a ton, and this is a whole lot, but it's important. And this is part of the process as they would read this part of praise. And it says, it's titled the Thanksgiving for Victory. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let Israel say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his faithful love endures forever. I called to the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me. And he put me in a spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper, therefore I will look in triumph to those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust humanity. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust the nobles. All nations surround me in the name of the Lord. I destroyed them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them. They surrounded me like the bees. They were extinguished like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them, and they pushed me hard to make me fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of righteousness. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord disciplined me severely, but did not give me over to death. Open the gates of righteousness for me, and I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks because you have answered me, who have become my salvation. The stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give you thanks. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And this is how they would end the Seder meal. This is how they ended everything. And then they drank the fourth cup. The cup of praise. The cup of hope. The cup of restoration. And in the Last Supper, this is actually the cup that Jesus didn't drink. He drank the previous three, and then he stopped and he lifted this cup and said, I won't drink this one until I come back. Because it hasn't been restored. Jesus is going, there's this time that's coming where I'm going to restore all things back. We've drank these other three cups, and one is my blood that's passed down for you. It's the cup of redemption. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pay the price. We're going to establish this new covenant. I'm going to make a way for you to have this eternity with God, but there is coming a new heaven and a new earth, and until that time, I'm not drinking this cup. Struggling earlier this week. So we have this cup of praise where we celebrate the things that God has done. We celebrate the fact that God spoke to Abraham and then again to Moses, and he told the Israelites that I am your God and you are my people, but he also said you're going to be a blessing to all generations, to all nations. So we have the opportunity for God to be our God and us to be his people. We get to surrender to God, to the one that knows us better than we know ourselves and is looking out for us, and that's praiseworthy. And that same God is offering restoration to bring us back to a fullness. Interesting thing when you look at Holy Week and how it goes. Today's Palm Sunday, and we mark this as Jesus entering Jerusalem, and people are throwing their cloaks down in palm trees, and they're laying this royal treatment out as they're calling Hosanna, 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 and they're celebrating this guy that spent 3 years doing these amazing miracles and doing these amazing teachings, and they're going, okay, this is it. This is the Messiah. There's hope. what Jesus had been doing, and there's hope in who he is. And I thought it was awesome as we were laying out our timeline to work through this series that the cup of hope, the cup of praise, lands on Palm Sunday for us. Because you look at everything that was being celebrated during that week. It was not lost on them that it was Passover. It wasn't Holy Week then. We see it that way. But it was still a significant festival for them. People were in their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it wasn't lost on them and those who would understand who Jesus is and the significance of who he is were celebrating, and they're celebrating the hope that comes with the Messiah. And we see it, and they view it differently than we do. We got to read the end. See, they were asking for the Messiah, for the Savior to come, the conquering King. They were a people that were oppressed in their own land. They were under Roman occupation, and they knew God was coming to free them and to restore them and to redeem them. Redemption part comes through the suffering servant. That has to come first. Restoration is coming. But it's a day of praise. It's a day of excitement. It's a day of hope. And that's what we look at when we talk about Palm Sunday. And we see this and just the excitement of the day. Everyone loves it when the kids walk through, and you know, you'll be at a church sometime, and kids will come going through with the palm trees. And it's an exciting thing, and it should be. It's a day of praise. But we praise God because of what he's done. But it's a day of hope because there's a restoration coming. So we have hope because there's restoration. This is what hit me today. Is I couldn't figure out the praise and the hope and the restoration, how one cup could represent all of them. But hope comes from that, right? We have hope and restoration. That's where joy comes from. When you go to a funeral of a believer, it's different than that of one that isn't. If you go to a funeral of someone who has lived their life and stayed focused on following God and surrendering to him, we say things differently and we see things differently. Because we have this hope on the other side of it. There's a joy to it that's really unexplainable. When we see things and we go through things in our life and you handle them differently, it's because you have a hope on the other side of it. You have this good news on you of this restoration that's coming, this act that God is going to do to draw all his people back to him. Everything we do. If there's no restoration, if there's no second coming, then why are we here? Because there's no hope in it. If Jesus hung on a cross and was buried in a tomb and stayed there, there's no hope. The fact that Jesus said, I'm going to there, and then I'm coming back one day. There's hope. There's joy. There's praise. And I just love that scripture because it just kept saying the same thing. And I hear this complaint a lot about more contemporary worship songs. And you go, well, they just say the same thing over and over and over. So does the Psalms. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Think about that. Think about the hope that comes with that. All the times where we face challenges, God's done it before for us. Those times when you read through Psalms 118 and you can connect and go, man, there's times where the world is just beating me down, but God got me through it. The next time it comes, you have hope because you've done it before. Fear doesn't have the same effect on you when you walked the path before and you came out. When you take time and you make that prayer and say, God, you did this amazing thing and it would have been enough. If you would have only done that, it would have been enough. What you're doing is saying, God, you did this amazing thing before, but that's not unlike you because it's who you are, it's what you do, and you've done it again. And you're going to do it again. And you're going to do it again. We start tying our hope to everything because God has done it before. Our outlook looks different. We do things that are different because our prayer in those dark and difficult moments. If we don't stop and take time to remember those moments, the moments overwhelm us with the darkness. But if you can just find that moment of time, you can calm yourself down and you just stop and go, God, I've been here before. This feels familiar. Back to where you were when God did it last time, you have hope. You gotta do it again. Do it again. Do it again. When you start walking around and going, last time didn't kill me because God was there. He met me in that place and He got me through it. And I have hope that He'll do it again. You're willing to do some crazy things for God. When you can hang your hat on moments and go, okay, I know God has a track record of showing up in big ways in my life. So when I feel the presence of God pushing me in this direction, and even though it sounds ridiculous and nothing about it makes sense, I can go, God is there, He'll do it again. And so I can have faith and I can have hope that He's going to do it. Do it again. And then you tell your friends, you're like, yeah, we're going to do this crazy thing. And they're like, what are you doing? That is ridiculous. Like, yeah, but God's done it before. He'll do it again. And God is good. His love endures forever. When you're in this cycle and you just getting beat up and you don't know what to do and you're sitting in the dark and your friends are going, man, how do you even handle this? You can just stop and go, God's going to do it again. It's about hope. But we started with this thinking this was the least of the cups. Like the other ones just had so much context to them and just so much stuff to learn. Tell me that when times are tough, when I'm questioning what God's asking me to do because I'm just Rick, and it's hard, and it's scary, and I don't understand it. When you're hurting for people, and they're hurting, and it's hard, and you don't understand it, this is where this one comes in, because you go, no, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. I just submit to Him, and I just follow Him, and I just follow His decrees, and I let Him lead me and guide me. When I go to grab something that isn't God, that tries to bring some sort of temporary relief to whatever situation, or just even a distraction from the pain, and the problem is that will do it again too, where at the end of that remains broken and empty and void. And God's over here going, I've never reached out. Lean back into me. Band's going to come up, and we're going to close in our last song. And normally I say that this is a time where is a part of our offering, is our sacrifice. And some of us, there's times where God's going, hey, I want you to start trusting me financially and let me show up again. And there's a piece to that. But on your card, find a place to write some times where God has done it before. Because you need to remember and do it again. The reason they go through the Passover Supper every year is because they need to know that God's been there before. Because He'll do it again. When you go through each one of the steps, you're reminded of God's faithfulness in your own life. We'll do it again. It's not just education. It's not just yelling stuff. It's remembering the God that loves you and the things He's done. I wasn't in Egypt. I wasn't building bricks. I didn't witness the plagues. But the God that did that has provided me for me and my family when I couldn't. The God that did that, I've seen Him do healings in people's lives. The God that did that has overwhelmed me with peace and comfort. The God that did that has spoke value into my life and reminded me of who I am. Spend some time as the band's singing and playing. Don't feel the need to sing. Don't come up here and play. But don't feel the need to sing. Don't feel the need to stand. Spend some time and go, okay, God, where have you been? Remind me of these moments, because there's going to be a time where I need that. To be reminded you'll do it again. Write it down. Put sticky notes throughout your house. Monuments of time. If there's a place, a physical place that you've drive past that you're like, man, I was in a car accident here and I walked away without a scratch. Don't let that be just, wow, that was amazing. God did a miraculous thing here and he'll do it.